I think when we said goodbye to them, I'm going to be honest in a moment with our listeners. Arina Sabalenka serves to the forehand. Good deep return yet again, and the plus one is long, and goodness me, here are three break back points straight away. When Courtney and Simon went off, having concluded the first of the quarterfinals today, and they commentated on the first three games of this one, just as we were about to take over, I turned around, I said to you, I think this is going to be quite quick. What do I know? 2 hours and 11 minutes later. Three, two, love 40. Sabalenka with a second serve to the backhand. Now a cross court on the forehand side from Arina Sabalenka. Clips the top of the tape from Andreeva. In comes Sabalenka, and she can put away a backhand into the open court.
Well, considering she just saved a break point, it was a very subdued little fist pump from Arina Sabalenka, as though she can't quite summon up enough energy to celebrate. Still work to do in this service game.
Between them, they've come up with 33 winners on that backhand wing. But as I said a few moments ago, that area has been dominated by Andreeva, and she's still got a great chance here at 15-40. Forehand return, the serve is called out a little late, but there's no quibble from Sabalenka. Two slow bounces of the ball. Then she's ready. Service to the backhand. It's straight back at Sabalenka, who goes long with her plus one. And I am giving up attempting any more predictions as far as this match is concerned. I really felt as though we had a decisive shift in the balance of power when Sabalenka got that break. Well, Andreeva breaks straight back. Conchita Martinez is giving her some words of encouragement.
When you know your opponent isn't serving well, even if you drop your serve, you know you're always going to get an opportunity, and Sabalenka has not served well today.
Well, Simon's in position. I need to go and grab a bite to eat before coming back for the night match.
That's what we were supposed to be doing. We thought this would be over.
Yeah, I think everybody thought this was going to be over.
It's never over.
It's good, though.
Never over till it's over. It's interesting, isn't it? It's intriguing.
I'll do this one final point, and then Mr. Cambers can take us through to the conclusion. Sabalenka takes her time. It's lots of fizzing forehands across the court. And, well, Andreeva, I think, was about to celebrate. Then a call of out. The umpire comes down to have a look,
good,
and he says it was good. She knew. She started to celebrate. Then came the call. Well done, the umpire.
Because Sabalenka just walked over the mark, didn't even touch the mark, just sort of walked straight across it. She knew as well.
3-30 love. First serve into the net. Quite a lanky ball boy is on duty this time. Races across, settles down underneath the umpire's chair. Sabalenka then runs round and clubs a forehand winner. Well, she's done that a fair few times, and it's a tactic that hasn't always worked. In fact, it's spectacularly backfired on occasions, but it's what she likes to go and do, and that worked.
So often it intimidates opponents playing like that. When Sabalenka does that, you see the opponent rocking back on their heels, but that just hasn't worked against Andreeva today.
Looping backhand return this time. The drop shot from Andreeva is into the net.
Well, it was a good idea. Sabalenka was miles away.
30 all. Are we going to have a third straight break of serve here? Andreeva body serve. Good deep return though from Sabalenka, slicing into the net on her backhand wing.
She rarely has to slice the ball at all on her backhand side. She clearly, you know, she's obviously had those stomach issues throughout the match. Maybe still not feeling great.
Close up of Conchita Martinez, who's done it all as a player and as a coach as well, but she, I have to say, she looks a bag of nerves right now. Strong return from Sabalenka. She's going to come in. She should whip a ball away, but up goes a high lob. She's got a stretch for it, Sabalenka. The point's going to continue. She should have won this point some time ago. Forehand down the middle of the court from Andreeva. Now she's onto her double-hander. The slice drop shot from Sabalenka. Andreeva gets there. Drop shots her back and wins the point. And that could be a dagger in the heart of Arina Sabalenka.
Well, she had no business winning that point, Andreeva, but full of confidence, full of verve, full of gumption. Impressive stuff from the 17-year-old Sabalenka, now slumped over, as we've seen her so many times at change of ends, bent double.
She's got great hands, Andreeva. She's on the run there under a lot of pressure, a lot of power, and she still found the ability to put up a nice little lob. And then when she got back in the rally, the angle, really nice touch. And under a lot of pressure, on the biggest stage of her career so far, she is holding up well. Whatever's happening up the other end, she is fighting hard. And she's got her nose in front in this final set. Thank you very much, Marcus. Thank you, Eleanor. You may leave.
Thank you,
sir. You may take your leave.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
We'll see this out, these last, what, two games. Should be fine. We're like those finishers you get in football these days, the ones who come on to just see out the game. Well, who knows? Could go on for ages yet. It's certainly intriguing. And the pressure now switching back to Aryna Sabalenka as Courtney Walsh joins me. Courtney, it's getting interesting.
It really is. In fact, it's been an interesting match the entirety of this three-set affair. More than 2 hours on the clock. Some fascinating subplots to what I was really looking forward to. And here we are near the conclusion. The teenager taking it to the dual Grand Slam champion. She may be ailing a little, but the quality of the play from Andreeva has been exceptional.
Wild first serve from Sabalenka, but she gets away with the second. The return goes just long.
I was out underneath court at Susan Longlone a little earlier, Simon, interviewing a couple of young junior talents in the juniors draws, which is underway through to the quarterfinal stages in the singles, when Andreeva will pass, and it made me think, well, in you know, bar for her, I suppose, her experience, she'd be playing that tournament.
Yeah, exactly. But here she is in the quarterfinals at Roland Garros in the main draw. 17 years old, qualified last year, got to the third round. She has really fought hard and really smart tennis to withstand what's coming from the other end, even if Sabalenka has been very up and down and feeling, obviously in the first set especially, feeling pretty poor. Took some pills midway through that set as she sends the second serve to the backhand of Andreeva and then mishits the forehand wide, and it's 30-15. But Andreeva has just held her nerve. That's one of the things that she is so good at, is just staying calm in difficult situations.
It's something that she's really matured into. Yep. I mean,
she used to go a bit crazy. I mean, she can, but she's done a good job, hasn't she?
Absolutely. It's been a really poised performance. Great change of direction on the return there before.
Serve from Sabalenka, and the big forehand inside out from the Belarusian is a winner. And it's 40-15.
That draws a round of applause from the crowd. They've been treated to a couple of fantastic quarterfinals in the women's today. Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see how they both back up tomorrow for another semi-final. Yeah, whoever the winner is here.
The winner of this plays Jasmina Paolini as Andreeva hooks the forehand return, and the forehand goes wild from Sabalenka, miles over the baseline. She bends double at the back of the court again. This time, strangely sort of flexing her leg as well.
She does not look like she's having a good time out there whatsoever. Right. Body language really has not been great for much of this match. Now, she might be feeling really bad, but she is certainly betraying that.
Yeah, Andreeva knows it, but it's one thing knowing it, another thing to be able to take advantage. Sabalenka still playing some good tennis. Goes backhand to the slice of the Andreeva with the backhand slice again. Short one from Sabalenka, not quite a drop shot. Try volley on the run from just inside the baseline from Sabalenka, and she holds.
It's very hard to describe just how spectacular that shot was. Andreeva got to the ball very well, was able to slice it, kept it low. It was going to be very deep in the baseline. Almost a lunge to the right from Sabalenka to be able to come up with that racket head control and whip it past on the full. As you said, a drive volley, but certainly not an aggressive one in terms of from where she was. That was delicate, great angle, beautiful topspin.
Sort of flick, wasn't it? Flick of the wrist, it went straight past. Serve from Andreeva at 4-all, first point. Plays the backhand into the open court after opening up the court with the serve out wide. Nicely done. Still thinking smartly.
Good poise on that occasion.
15-love, kicker to to the backhand of Sabalenka, who just lifts it deep. Azarenka, Andreeva just goes forehand up the line and on the line. Sabalenka's wandering forward. And she's just rubbing out the mark on the serve from the previous point.
Very curious, taking some time in between rallies, I think, trying to get a breather. That was beautifully weighted forehand from Andreeva.
Steady love. Andreeva serves off the top of the net. Just goes long. Second serve. Andreeva kicks it to the backhand of Sabalenka, who goes wide, trying the inside-out return. It's marked by Andreeva. I think it was pretty clearly wide. Umpire confirms it, and it's three game points pretty quickly for Andreeva in such a pressure cooker situation. A love game would be really well appreciated by the young Russian. Andreeva serves out to the backhand of Sabalenka, then misses with the backhand. A bit of a rush of blood.
No doubt went for that one a little bit more. Flew long. In between that point, just before the 40 love, you saw Sabalenka taking some very, very, very big gulps of air, trying to compose herself. Nice return. Drew the error.
Stressful situation as Andreeva serves wide on the angle and Sabalenka gets there but slaps it into the net. And Andreeva moves ahead again. And this time she's just a game away from victory. She leads 5-4 in the final set in her first Grand Slam quarterfinal, trying to make it all the way through to the semis.
It's been a fantastic performance from the teenager. It's not necessarily something that should surprise given what we've seen from her in her brief but exceptionally promising career so far. Really rose onto the scene with distinction last year, and here she is back in Paris playing superb tennis once again. The composure she's showing. When I saw her walk past Simon, you see someone, close order, and it struck me that she certainly looked stronger and looked more mature than what she did a year ago. Compared to some of the juniors, as I said, I was down there talking to a couple, and then you saw her walk past. That's a proper professional.
Exactly.
As she disappeared down into the tunnel that runs underneath and brings the players all the way through from that court.
Yeah.
Back up to court Philippe Chatrier. Here she is. 5-4, Sabalenka serving to stay in this match.
Rob's asking if we'll be providing ball-by-ball coverage of the mixed doubles final tomorrow. We certainly will. 12 o'clock start. Sabalenka serving to stay in this quarterfinal. Starts with an ace, does she? No, it's called wide. Pretty close, but I think it's going to be called wide. No, it's good. I should have trusted my eyes. But it was good. Right on the tee. Junction of service line and the line that runs through the middle of the court. Sabalenka serves at 15 love. Serve's been a bit shaky today, as is a lot of things. Second serve, good one. Kicks to the backhand of Andreeva, who actually moves backwards to return it. Then Andreeva up the line on the backhand. Forehand up the line from Sabalenka's good. High backhand from Andreeva on the stretch. Can't control it. Serve's love.
Nice composure there from the dual Grand Slam champion. Heavily weighted topspin forehand. Jumped right up above the shoulders of the Russian. Not quite able to handle it on that occasion.
Dirty love, Sabalenka. Again, going for the centre line. Just wide this time. Ball boy jumps up to grab the ball. Runs over to the corner by the clock. Sabalenka, second serve. Kicks to the backhand of Andreeva, returns with interest. But the forehand goes wide from Sabalenka. She stands with her arms open wide. How did I miss that? Why did I miss that? 30-15.
Just a shake of disbelief from her. A shake of her head in disbelief. She looks bewildered by what's going on out there, Sabalenka. And yet she's still very much alive in this match and not far at all away from potentially leveling at 5-5 in the third set, 30-15.
Andreeva just takes a bit of time at the back of the court, wipes her hand on the side of her skirt. Sabalenka serves. Again, a kicker to Andreeva's backhand. Down the middle of the court, forehand inside in from Sabalenka's long. Rushing it again. And so all of a sudden, Andreeva, 2 points from victory.
22nd forehand error from Sabalenka.
She'd shown great conviction a couple of points earlier. That was contrary to that. A slap and a slap long.
Standing a little wider to serve at 30-all. Down the tee. Just out. Wanders forward to look at it. Wanders back. Gets ready for her second serve. Andreeva waits. 30-all. It's a big second serve, but it's a good forehand return deep from Andreeva, who then has to move quickly to her backhand side. Backhand up the line from Sabalenka on the line.
Just exceptional shot making there. The second serve, 177 kilometres an hour, directed to the forehand wing. It was struck with real pace. Not a lot of slice, but very much a heavy, heavy serve. The return every bit as good. Andreeva up to the challenge, but then to finish off with that backhand. Just a fantastic flourish up the line. No margin for error. Beautiful.
So bold from Sabalenka as she serves at 40-30, trying to close out this game. She misses the forehand, though. It's gone long. Andreeva was there. Didn't bother marking it. It was clearly long. Again, just desperate to finish off that ball. First chance she can, keeping the point short. It's juice. 4-5, Sabalenka, final set. Mira Andreeva, 2 points from a place in the semi-finals for the first time. Sabalenka serves. Out wide to the forehand of Andreeva, who chops it back on the forehand. Drop shot from Sabalenka's in the net. And it's match point, Mira Andreeva.
Sabalenka looking exceptionally concerned as she makes her way slowly back towards the ball, boys. Hits the first one away. Grabs the second.
Quickly back to her mark. 2 hours, 27 minutes of sheer drama. Match point Andreeva on the Sabalenka serve. Sabalenka kicks the serve to the backhand of Andreeva, who drops it mid-court. Big forehand from Sabalenka. Andreeva can't do anything about it. Match point saved.
Really like that first serve on that occasion. We've seen if she can get the ball up above the shoulders of her rival, not able to get quite as much purchase on the return. It's set up nicely. She still had to be able to hit it.
Still had to put it away, and she did it. It's juice. Misses the first serve. Yeah, Andreeva was looking for depth with the return. Didn't get it on the previous point, on the match point. Second serve from Sabalenka at juice. Here it comes. Kick to the backhand of Andreeva again. A big high kicking serve. Andreeva gets it back though with good depth. And then the backhand up the line from Andreeva, the winner. Pumps her fist. Second match point chance.
Absolutely superb control as her coach Katrina Martinez up off her feet to be able to make that shot down the line. It was a really dipping ball, good angle from Sabalenka. Not to be though.
Match point number two. Mira Andreeva on the Sabalenka serve. Serve to the forehand of Andreeva. Returns it deep into the backhand corner. Sabalenka runs around it to the forehand. She's got to hit another forehand cross court. It's on the line. It looks so close to the line. There's a lob coming up from Andreeva. Is it over? Sabalenka's in! She's done it! Mira Andreeva, 17 years old, puts her hands over her head. She has beaten the number two seed, Aryna Sabalenka, 7-6. 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, finishing with the most exquisite backhand long. What a performance and what a win. She's got her hands over her face, she's waving to the crowd, and she deserves every single bit of the crowd support that's coming from the stands.
There's a hint of some tears in the eyes after that one. You talked about the exquisite touch on that final lob, but also the decision-making. Sabalenka at the net, plenty of time, magnificent. As Sabalenka walks off the crowd, a subdued wave, not taking any time, sticking around. That's a difficult one for her.
Yeah, it'll be hard to take, having definitely had some stomach issues during that match.
Even as she's grimacing as she walks off, yeah. Clearly not quite at her peak today, but nonetheless, it takes an exceptional talent to beat the world number two, and that exceptional talent, Mira Andreeva, what a performance, and what a semi-final we have to come. We have the big two through in one half, and then a surprise packet semi-final.
Yeah, Iga Świątek and Coco Gauff one side. And now it's Mira Andreeva through to play Jasmine Paolini. We're going to hear from her right now.
Mira, unbelievable performance. You're in your first semi-finals of a Grand Slam. How's the feeling?
Honestly, at the moment, I even forgot what was the score because I really tried not to focus on that. And when it was the second match point for me, I was trying to imagine that I'm saving a break point. So I tried to play brave and I managed to win.
That's for sure. And playing in front of a full house of enthusiastic spectators, how does that feel for a 17-year-old?
Honestly, I was really nervous before the match. I knew that she would have an advantage, especially with the crowd. But I'm actually was a little surprised because you guys also cheered for me. So thank you very much for cheering on me today.
So I want to ask you about your tennis intellect, because we can learn how to hit backhands and forehands, but to learn the game is not that easy. At 17, you basically know everything about tactics, it seems to me. How did you learn that?
Honestly, I just... I don't know, I kind of see the game, I just play wherever I want, I don't even have a plan, so when I see when I see an open space on the court, I try to play there, or if I think that maybe she will run there, I try to play behind her back or something like this. Yeah, me and my coach, we had a plan today. But again, I didn't remember anything during the match. So yeah, just try to play as I feel and that's it.
You have just started working with Conchita Martinez. Does that mean you don't need her anymore?
No, I still need her. She's giving me great support. And okay, sometimes I can remember a little information. But yeah, having her by my side, it's an amazing advantage for me. And I'm really happy that she still works with me.
I'm sure she's happy to do that. Last question. Big upset in the match before. You're playing Jasmine Paolini in the semifinals. Just a quick thought of the match.
I played her in Madrid. It was a really tough match, mental-wise and game-wise. She plays really fast. She moves really fast, and she goes for it. Doesn't matter the situation or the score. So I think it will be a little bit like today. So I will just try to play the same level and with the same cold head, if I can say that. And we'll see what will happen.
I'm sure you come up with a plan. Mira, thank you very much. Congratulations. Congratulations. Well done. Qualifier pour la demi-finale. Mira Andreeva.
Well, I think her speeches are almost as good as her performances, Mira Andreeva. Amazingly mature off the court as well as on the court. And her mother is busy taking the congratulations of all her team in the stands, Conchita Martinez as well, and through to her first semi-final. And we're going to get a first Grand Slam finalist as she plays Jasmine Paolini. That's going to be a fascinating match.
And she touched on having played her recently, and we've seen Paolini just having such a superb tournament. She's actually out on court at the moment, Paolini, and about to, well, within range with Sarah Errani, the former finalist here as well, the Italian who's still going around playing some great tennis in her mid to late 30s against the American Navarro and Schneider. They won the first set, the Italian 6-3. They are 5-2 up in the second one service break. So she could well be through to two semi-finals, Paolini. Andreeva just spoke about the support of the crowd then and how much she appreciated it against someone who has done as much on the court in the last couple of years as Sabalenka. Yep. What a star she's becoming.
Yeah, it's amazing. She's still got a doubles to play today, Andreeva. She's due out with, she's playing with Vera Zvonareva, the veteran Russian player, who was former world number two. They're playing Kostyuk and Ruse in the quarterfinals over on Court Simon Mathieu. So I don't think we'll be seeing Mira Andreeva in press anytime soon. She'll obviously take a bit longer, play her doubles, and then come in after that. But yeah, phenomenal performance, amazing maturity. Just the way she finished that last point. Sabalenka had the court seemingly open. She guessed right, and when she got there, she just lifted the most delicious of backhand topspin lobs over. You almost knew she was going to do it, and she finished it off brilliantly. So she is through to a first semi-final. This was her first quarter-final of a slam. Now she's into a semi-final, and we've been waiting for her sort of to make a real big breakthrough, and this is clearly it. She will play Yasmina Paolini in the semi-finals tomorrow. So a lot of tennis for Andreeva to play. Doubles tonight, get ready for a semi-final tomorrow. The other semi-final, of course, will be between Iga Świątek and Coco Gauff, who won yesterday. And Paolini, who beat Elena Rybakina today from having won the first set pretty easily. Rybakina hit back in the second, but the third was a topsy-turvy affair. And amazing to see Paolini come through that match.
Well, she started exceptionally well, and Rybakina really struggling from the ground. But when she hit back in the second, you thought, and then you saw the body language from the Italian at the start of the third when she won that first service game, and you thought, this is not someone who is going to lie down easily. She's going to fight and take this all the way. And what a player she's becoming as well. Just had an exceptional year so far.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing year. Number 12 seed, won in Dubai and through to her first semi-final of a slam at the age of 28. But it wasn't Elena Rybakina's best day. And we can hear what she had to say in press.
Elena, tough result for you today, but a great run through to the Roland Garros quarterfinals. Can you just give us your overall thoughts on the performance today and then just the experience here as a whole?
Yeah, it's been tough match today, and of course not the result I wanted, but overall I think it was a great couple of matches here I played, and yeah, now I'm just looking forward already for grass season.
Thank you. Hi. I don't know if you also speak Italian, because your coach seems to be Italian. No, you don't. Okay. What happened today? Because, I mean, Paolini was playing well. You were a lot of forehands that you missed. And there is any reason? It was just a bad day at the office. How do you explain it?
Well, yeah, it's definitely not the greatest day. And she played really well. She started much better. She was moving good. I started a bit slow, and she was aggressive from the first ball. And then I was just trying to find my game, which was always like I was step back, and I was trying to fight through. But in the end, yeah, as you say, it's not the greatest day in the office. And I was close, but she won, and in the end, I'm just, I need to focus now on the grass season.
Hi, a couple of days ago, you said that you prefer like a heavier condition in terms of playing on the clay, and today it's kind of sunny. So do you think this kind of condition, it's a little bit tougher? It works as an like, advantage for your opponent?
Yeah, today is definitely, it was hotter and the ball was flying much more. But I think in the end, my legs were not there. No matter which conditions, if it's slow or fast, I should have been moving better, and some decisions, a lot of unforced errors. So I'm not, of course, really happy with the performance, but it is what it is. It's tennis. Not every day you can play good. So I will try to take some good things from this match, try to analyze, and just move on.
Is there any particular reason why the legs weren't there today? Was that a surprise to you? Was it just one of those days, bad day at the office?
It was a bad day, and as I was saying, I was struggling a little bit with the health issues past few weeks, so I think it's just all together. But in the end, no matter all these things which were maybe happening outside of the court, I managed to get to the quarters, and I think it's a pretty good result. Of course, I always want to win, but a lot of tough opponents, a lot of matches, and I think overall it's been positive French Open for me.
Looking at the positive things of these past 2 weeks, what do you take away?
Well, definitely the way I was managing some moments on the court, not maybe feeling so well, and I think it's always a lot of things to discuss with the team after the event like this, and yeah, we will see how we're gonna structure the rest of the year, because still a lot of tournaments in front, and the schedule is not easy. Also, Olympics is coming, so we will try to do everything possible to be prepared for all these events.
It's the end of Roland Garros. We may say it may be like a half season gone. I was wondering if you could tell us how satisfied or unsatisfied you are with the first part of the season. You won three tournaments. You had a few probably disappointing retirements because of health issues. What do you make of the first part of the season?
I'm really happy with the results. I mean, I played so many matches, also good wins against top players, and of course, it's a lot of ups and downs from my side, missing some events. Of course, I would like to play everything, but if the body is on the limit, I cannot do anything. So for now, I'm pretty happy. And if I can continue like this till the end of the year, it's going to be not bad for sure.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
That was the voice of Elena Rybakina. Not her best day, as she put it, but also a good start to the year, and having been dealing with some off-the-court health issues in the last few weeks, she's sort of content to have got to the quarterfinals, if a little disappointed to have lost out to Jasmine Paolini in the first of the quarterfinals today. Rybakina will be a big threat back at Wimbledon, no doubt, where she won 2 years ago. Paolini will go on to play in the semi-final of a slam for the first time at the age of 28. And she'll play Mira Andreeva, the 17-year-old Russian, who has just beaten Aryna Sabalenka in three sets, 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, to reach her first semi-final. So we're guaranteed a first finalist, or a first-time finalist, on the women's side. The other semi-final is between Iga Świątek and Coco Gauff. And I think we can, before the night session begins, which we have Alex de Minaur up against Alexander Zverev, we can hear how they got to the semi-finals.
So, having saved one match point in quite brilliant fashion, Jabeur's got to do it again. Gauff is serving to her forehand. Deep return right onto the baseline. Would you believe it? And Jabeur's going to come in. Oh, no, she hasn't hammered away the overhead. Oh, that she's missed an overhead. I can't believe what I have just seen. I honestly cannot believe what I've just seen. Ons Jabeur, having saved one match point in miraculous fashion, has thrown away the second one. And it's Coco Gauff who celebrates, and she celebrates with real passion. She's out on the court. She's screaming. And she is through to the semi-finals, but Ons Jabeur missing that overhead. She had two chances to get that game back to juice. With the first one, she went straight at Gauff, and with the second one, inexplicably, she missed the court. She goes out, Coco goes through.
Congratulations, what a match, great atmosphere, unbelievable tough opponent. How difficult it was for you to understand the game from Ons, because she plays like with totally different tactics than other players, but you look beautiful and you did a great job.
Yeah, she's a tough opponent, and she's well-loved on tour. And I could tell by the crowd today, I know you guys wanted her to win. And honestly, whenever she's not playing, I cheer for her too. So thank you guys for making it a good atmosphere. The people up there made it really fun for me. I like playing in environments like this and over here too. Even though you guys are Franz, I really had a lot of fun. Even when I lost the first set and they were chanting, when I was in the bathroom, I was like, this is just really fun, win or lose. It is.
I have to say that they were pretty divided. I mean, they love Ons, but they love Coco Gauff as well, I have to tell you.
Thank you, guys. There was like two people behind my bench sitting over there, and they were cheering for me, not loudly, but I could hear them, and it helped me. I know I have a lot of love here in Paris. Trust me, I know. So I really appreciate it, and hopefully you guys can help me make it through the next round.
There was something that we really liked it very much, what you did. You lost the first set, but then you become a little bit more aggressive. That was because you've been playing very well during the clay court season, because you beat her several times, or it's just because your mind was like convinced till the end of the match, I gotta go for it. I don't need to let her do her job.
Yeah, I was definitely trying to be more aggressive. She was playing really well the whole match, and she was hitting a lot of winners on me, which is something I'm not used to against like anybody. So today I was just trying to just be aggressive towards the end. I got a little bit tight the last couple match points, but I think I did what I needed to do to win the match.
Coco, we admire you. We respect you. They like you here. We like you here. Good luck for the next round. Coco Gauff.
Thank you.
Qualifié pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
Coco, congratulations into your third consecutive Grand Slam semifinal. Just what does that mean to you, and how does this victory mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot to me. Been trying to do better at being consistent in the big tournaments, and I'm reaching that level of consistency. Obviously very happy to reach the semifinal, but and sure everybody knows I want to go all the way.
When you're down a set in a big match like this, I'm curious how your, I guess, management of these moments has changed over your career, like how stressed or not stressed you are, and how that has evolved.
Yeah, she played really well, honestly, the whole match, but especially the first set. I think she, the first three games, I don't even think I saw a second serve. Maybe I don't recall. I think she was serving like 80-something, 84%, and like serving really well. So, you know, when you lose a set like that, it's kind of just, you just try to brush it off. And I know that I should have held serve, especially that one, the game I got broken. I think I had a couple game points. So it's just one of those things. Like, I played one bad, maybe not even game, but like a couple points, and she played a great set. And it's kind of just like, if she can sustain this level the whole match, and then she deserves it. And if my level doesn't rise, then I deserve to lose. So I knew I had to raise my level. And I think, and because I raised my level, I think I just started to play more aggressive and not letting her dictate me off the court. And I know she's going to hit some great shots, like a couple forehand winners she like hit. And I'm just like, you know, there's nothing I can do. And same with the drop shots. When you play her, you know, you're going to get, you know, a couple of drop shot winners. And yeah.
Iga said earlier that she thinks your mental game has improved over the course of the 11 times you guys have met. Is that something which you can see as well?
Yeah, I definitely think. And I don't know if it's like something I actively worked on or if it's just maturity. Over the years, I think you just get older and learn how to handle the pressures a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's something that I like. I don't have like a mental coach or, you know, anything like that, sports related, but it is something that I knew I had to improve and just be more positive. But I think it just also came with maturity and realizing that I can't, you know, beat myself and also my opponent beating me.
Thinking ahead to your matches against Iga, a feature here last year was you were really looping a lot of balls, and when I was in Rome recently, you kind of came out crushing the ball. I'm not expecting you to reveal your tactic, but I'm just wondering whether you have a clear idea in your mind of now, like how to approach facing Świątek on clay.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, I have to find, a better way to play her than the last
times I play on clay, because I've obviously been unsuccessful the last couple times we've played, regardless of the surface and anything. So she's definitely a tough opponent for me and for anybody. But yeah, I think for me, I'll just have to like go back and watch and try to find, you know, what I have to do. I think she's playing great tennis here, so it's going to be a challenge, but I'm going to go into the match with a lot of belief that I can, and I'm going to try to get, you know, a plan for my team and then also my own plan and see where we can find the blend.
Minutes. It is match point to the world number one and defending champion.
Crazy. How I was watching, I want to see the stats of how many unforced errors Świątek has made. But 15-40, second serve.
Match points. Serve down the tee, the backhand through the middle of the court, the backhand through the middle again as Świątek whips the backhand cross court, and it is game, set, and match. In an hour and 2 minutes, so through two matches, she has lost two games. She defeats the Wimbledon champion, 6-love, 6-2.
Iga, wow. Huge congratulations to you. What a flawless performance again today against a Grand Slam champion in Markéta Vondrousova. What was the feeling for you out there on the court in this quarterfinal for Roland Garros?
Honestly, I think everything worked. I feel like I've been serving better than in previous rounds, so that gave me, you know, extra boost of confidence. And overall, I just felt like I'm playing pretty heavy, and I could just, you know, play my game and really go with my tactics and not really overthink anything.
Well, when I see you play, when I watch you play from courtside, it looked to me that nothing can go wrong in your game. You're in total control of everything you're doing. Is it the general feeling you have as well inside, or sometimes you have a little doubt somewhere, or is it just straightforward?
No, today it was pretty straightforward. I'm happy, you know, that I kept my focus, because sometimes I felt like the game was really intense and sometimes the intensity went down a little bit. So I wanted to really, you know, just play my game no matter what was coming back from Markéta. And no, I felt like I was in the zone today.
You certainly was in the zone. Iga, you're going to face Coco Gauff in the semi-final. You guys have played several times in the past across the globe, but twice here, and especially one in the final of Roland Garros, the one you won, of course. What is for you the mindset when you're going to enter the court, the semi-final for Grand Slam? It's an opponent you know. How are you going to prepare for that match?
Honestly, as the same as before any other match. You don't want to change your routines. You know, it's good to just keep going and not think about this match as something huge, but just another match, you know, to not put too much baggage on your shoulders. But against Coco, it's not easy. So she really likes playing on clay, and especially here, I think. So I'll just focus on myself and I'll prepare tactically, and we'll see.
Final questions. You love this court, Philippe Chatrier. Your first Grand Slam title was here on that right court today. Again, a lot of fans, a lot of Polish flags, a lot of people loving you and showing all the support.
Yes.
I'm sure it must be special.
Thank you very much, guys. Wszystkim z Polski bardzo dziękuję za przyjazd i za wsparcie. And also the French fans, I really love, you know, playing here, and I feel more and more support every year. So thank you for coming, and see you in 2 days.
We'll certainly see you in 2 days. Mesdames et messieurs, merci d'applaudir. Voilà. Iga Świątek, qualifiée pour les demi-finales de Roland Garros.
Well, it was a really solid performance, probably the best I've had here, so I'm happy that my game is getting better and better every day, and I feel pretty confident today.
Want to look ahead to Coco, if you don't mind. It's been about just over 3 years since you first met her, 11 meetings since then. She struggled to get matches against you and sometimes even sets, but she has made a lot of improvement over those 3 years. So I wonder if you could just tell me what you think of her game now compared to where it was then. And do you think she's making improvements? Do you think she's a tougher opponent than she was 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think her mental game is a little bit better. And before it was, kind of easier to crack her, I would say, when you were leading. But I mean, it's normal that she's making progress. She's at that age that, everything goes pretty nicely. If you're working hard, then you will get a progress. So she's probably doing that. And, yeah, I mean, probably every aspect of her game is a little bit better because it's different, you know, being a teenager on a tour and then being more mature player.
Two questions, if I could. The first one is about your form compared to when you were at this sort of stage of the tournament the last three times that you won. How do you feel you're playing right now compared to those sort of stages?
That's a tough one. Well, I don't really remember how I felt, honestly, because these tournaments are long and, like, I don't remember, like, every day, I would say. But I remember last year was pretty stressful for me. So every match was, like, kind of like a relief, you know. And now I'm enjoying it more. And I have more satisfaction from just, you know, playing my game. 2 years ago, I would say, in my mind, it felt pretty similar because I just felt like, I had already a great season, and now I can just go for it, you know. And 2020, it doesn't really fit anywhere because it was just all, you know, hectic, and it was all a surprise. So
all new. And the second question is, I've heard people compare watching you and some of your scorelines to Steffi Graf, one of the great players. I just wondered. Whether you, I know she was before your time in terms of age, but have you ever watched any footage of Steffi Graf and what your thoughts were if you had?
Well, I did, and you know she's a great champion, and well, it's just nice that anybody would compare me to her because I feel like I don't know her, but I feel like maybe she was kind of a similar person to me because she also likes to keep her privacy, and now you can see that she's just enjoying life, and she knows that she worked hard, you know, to have a little bit of peace, you know, right now. So and I also heard from, you know, some people on tour that she was also kind of like an introvertic and really in the zone and just focusing on tennis and what she wants to do. So that's what I heard tennis wise. I mean, it's hard to compare it because these were totally different times. Probably I don't have such a good slice as hers and the volleys, but it's nice that anybody would compare me to her because she's great.
Hi, Iga. Tennis is a lot of ups and downs. And how do you succeed to stay from outside in what looks like an easy game? How do you succeed not to go out from the game, to stay focused at 100%? And it was the same last game.
I try not to really focus on the score. Sometimes I even forget what the score is, honestly. And just, you know, focusing, I mean, I'm keeping myself busy in terms of thinking about technique and tactics and what I would do with the next point. And I don't really, because of that, I don't really allow myself to have time to, you know, drift off and think about other stuff. Obviously, it's not easy, and it's not like I'm always, you know, able to do that. But usually, when I don't think about the score, and I can reset after each point and start the second point from the beginning, like with the clean sheet, it's the best kind of match for me. So yeah.
If you can think back to here in 2020, obviously very unusual circumstances, but I'm wondering in what ways, if at all, did winning that first Grand Slam title, the thing all tennis players are striving for, might have changed you on the court, off the court, your perceptions of yourself, and or because I've heard you talk about how different that year was here. Was it the second one maybe that had more of that sort of a profound effect?
first one, I mean, I would say, I would kind of lie if I would say that it gave me belief that I can win Grand Slams right now, because I was still, you know, not really sure if it happened by mistake or what really happened, honestly, during these 2 weeks. I had to prove to myself that I was, you know, good enough to win it. And I think I proved that, you know, winning some titles after that and winning in 2022. So the win in 2022 was the most satisfying for me, and I proved everybody and I proved myself that it wasn't a one-time thing, and maybe in the future I'm going to be able to win more tournaments like that. So I would say after 2022 I was the most happy when I won.
I just wanted to ask you, I know one of the reasons you don't like playing in the night is because you want to go to bed at a sensible time. And how important is that for you to get kind of the right amount of sleep? And how much do you measure and kind of evaluate that as part of your kind of, I guess, sports science and medicine and all of that?
Well, honestly, for me, it's kind of a priority. So I had years when like everything could like threw me off my rhythm, and then I couldn't go to sleep, and I worked pretty hard to be able to, you know, just chill down and like not get too stressed the day before as well, you know. So for me it's really important, and I feel like, you know, the bodies of any of us are more, like, more ready to have like the peak of the activity during the day, because like most of you guys also work during the day, like most of the population. Obviously there are people working night shifts, but here I feel like, I don't know, I can adjust to anything. I played many night sessions that were good for me, but it's always comfortable, you know, going back to the hotel at 6 and being able to have a normal night. So, yeah. But now I wouldn't say that night sessions are, like, throwing me off the same way as a couple of years ago. I can adjust to anything.
Paolini circles the mark. There's no doubt about it. And it's match point Paolini.
Going to a towel. Get ready to play. The biggest point of a career right here, Paolini.
Never been to a Grand Slam semi-final. Never been to a quarter-final before today. Here she stands, match point against Elena Rybakina. Serves down the tee, forehand return straight to the backhand from Rybakina. She goes after the backhand. It's going to go long! And Jasmine Paolini has done it. She's beaten Elena Rybakina 6-2, 4-6, 6-4, and she's through to the semi-finals of a Grand Slam for the first time.
Jasmine, there is matches, there is moment in a life that can change completely your whole career. And today, here you are qualified for your first ever semi-final for a Grand Slam at 28 years old.
Thank you. It's an unbelievable feeling. It was a really tough match. I think I had a little bit too emotional in the second set. But then I said to myself, okay, it's good. She's a great champion, so it can happen, you know. And yeah, just fight, try to keep it there, you know, to try to hit every ball. And yeah, it worked. I'm here. I on number one.
You said it, you were up 6-2, 4-3, 40-15. Elena is a great champion, she will find a way to come back. Here you are in that third set, it's very difficult, it's very tight. What do you think was for you the key in those moments to get the win at the end?
I think just to, you know, try to stay there every point, to forget what happened in the second set, because I mean, it can happen, it's tennis, so it's normal. But yeah, I managed to come back and to stay there, to stay focused, even if I get the break 2 times again, but it's okay. I just, you know, accept that and fight again, yeah. Thank you guys, thank you very much for cheering for me.
I'm coming there. Obviously, we're discovering you. It's your first Grand Slam semifinal, but I think everyone here today felt in love for you, for your game, for your smile, for your attitude. I'm sure you want to say something to this incredible atmosphere.
Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. I mean, it was my first time playing in this beautiful court. It's a pleasure, I think. It's really a privilege, and I'm happy that I got the win in my first match here, because this is one of the best courts, I think, in tennis. Yes, for sure.
Well, Jasmine Paolini, I can tell you now it's not a dream anymore. You're in the semi-final of Roland Garros. Mesdames et messieurs, merci d'applaudir. Jasmine Paolini, qualifiée pour les demi-finales de Roland Garros.
Second match point chance.
Absolutely superb control as her coach, Katrina Martinez, up off her feet to be able to make that shot down the line. It was a really dipping ball, good angle from Sabalenka. Not to be, though.
Match point number two, Mira Andreeva on the Sabalenka serve. Serve to the forehand of Andreeva, who returns it deep into the backhand corner. Sabalenka runs around it to the forehand. She's got to hit another forehand cross court. It's on the line. It looks so close to the line. There's a lob coming up from Andreeva. Is it over? Sabalenka's in! She's done it! Mira Andreeva, 17 years old, puts her hands over her head. She has beaten the number two seed, Aryna Sabalenka, 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, finishing with the most exquisite backhand lob. What a performance and what a win. She's got her hands over her face, she's waving to the crowd, and she deserves every single bit of the crowd support that's coming from the stands.
Unbelievable performance. You're in your first semifinals of a Grand Slam. How's the feeling?
Honestly, at the moment, I even forgot what was the score, because I really tried not to focus on that. And when it was the second match point for me, I was trying to imagine that I'm saving a break point. So I tried to play brave, and I managed to win.
That's for sure. And playing in front of a full house of enthusiastic spectators, how does that feel for a 17-year-old?
Honestly, I was really nervous before the match. I knew that she would have an advantage, especially with the crowd. But I'm actually was a little surprised, because you guys also cheered for me. Thank you very much for cheering on me today.
So I want to ask you about your tennis intellect, because we can learn how to hit backhands and forehands, but to learn the game is not that easy. At 17, you basically know everything about tactics, it seems to me. How did you learn that?
Honestly, I just... I don't know, I kind of see the game, I just play wherever I want, I don't even have a plan, so when I see when I see an open space on the court, I try to play there, or if I think that maybe she will run there, I try to play behind her back or something like this. Me and my coach, we had a plan today, but again, I didn't remember anything during the match. So yeah, just try to play as I feel, and that's it.
You have just started working with Conchita Martinez. Does that mean you don't need her anymore?
No, I still need her. She's giving me great support. And okay, sometimes I can remember a little information. But yeah, having her by my side, it's an amazing advantage for me. And I'm really happy that she still works with me.
I'm sure she's happy to do that. Last question. Big upset in the match before. You're playing Jasmine Paolini in the semifinals. Just a quick thought of the match.
I played her in Madrid. It was a really tough match, mental-wise and game-wise. She plays really fast. She moves really fast, and she goes for it. Doesn't matter the situation or the score. So I think it will be a little bit like today. So I will just try to play the same level and with the same cold head, if I can say that. And we'll see what will happen.
I'm sure you come up with a plan. Mira, thank you very much.